It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword. A shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, God keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many, but believers are few. But one thing I find to be true, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, God keeps me from sin.
So before we sing our second one, what would you lead us in prayer?
The Father, I thank this night, Lord, and thank for giving us the protection to come to oppress tonight, Lord. Be with us, over, Lord, and give Christian the worship speak so that we learn more about the Acts and the early apostles, Lord, and what we think they went through, Lord. And give us a lesson, Lord, from heaven, Lord, and shine it upon our hearts, Lord, that we may know more about thee, and Lord, and lay it up in our hearts and use it in our lives, Lord. Pray for the people who committed, Lord, and pray for Frank, and help them and keep them, Lord, and Mr. Hunter, Lord, with Leonard, Lord, help him, Mr. Hunter, he's dealing with needs, Lord, and his spiritual welfare as well, Lord. And Lord, with John and Carl, Lord, or John, Carl, and Stephen, Lord, especially John and Carl, Lord, or Stephen and Carl, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, provide for them and help them, give them the spiritual welfare and physical welfare as well, Lord. With Esther, Lord, help them her foot and her legs, Lord, and her health, Lord, improve her condition, Lord, and stop any discomfort, Lord, or any pain, Lord, and bless her and keep her, Lord, and bring her to house next appointment time after the COVID crisis, Lord. And with Pat and Steve, Lord, help them and keep them, Lord, and help Stephen his leg, Lord, stop the infection, Lord, and get better, Lord. Pat, as she takes care of him, Lord, pray for her and bless him also, Lord. Pray for Pearl Harrington, help her and keep her and bless her also, Lord, and keep her safe and well, Lord, any problems that she has, Lord. And pray for the people throughout this world, Lord, that have got COVID-19, Lord, heal them and keep them, Lord, and Lord, stop any more from getting them, Lord, and save people's souls, Lord. They may see COVID as a sign, Lord, from God, Lord, that you need to change something in their life, and that thing is, Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, save us from our sins. Lord, and give us this night, Lord, and give Christy, Lord, give all of us, Lord, touch our hearts, thanks, and Lord, bring us close to thee for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
First number gets the
185.
Morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Far marvelous, far wonderful, and my song shall summed in glory, His face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Turn tonight to Proverbs chapter 21. The king's heart is in the heart and the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth whithersoever He will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look and a proud heart and the ploughing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbour findeth no favour in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for the wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that falleth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honour. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labour. He causeth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Amen.
Psalms and the Proverbs always remind me of meat pie. There's just so much in it. You've got your... Anyway, thank you for that. I appreciated the Bible reading this morning. Thank you, Norman and Steve, for that joint effort. And it's good to see you here. We had visitors this morning, and Ling was with us. And we had a good time, enjoyed the fellowship afterwards. I appreciate all the help and getting things done. Just want to remind you, there are, as Christy said earlier on, there are four benches filled, and there are four halves of pies sitting outside. Please take one I won't be eating any. There is, we have no need of it in the house, and you'd be doing us a great favour if you took them home and enjoyed them on our behalf. If you feel really bad about it, just text me and tell me whether they were any good or not. And I will lick my lips along with you. But please take one home with you. If you need something more to put it on or whatever, we'll get you sorted. But they're out there. Grand job. Grand job. As regards announcements, there has been no change other than just a reconfirmation of those with private prayer requests. Just a reminder about prayers for the purchase of the land. Things are moving ahead, but slowly. And please do pray for a reasonable valuation and payment being required by the church. Also, we're hoping to do streaming at some stage in the very near future. So a wee prayer or two about that. I've already asked Brother Stan, I think Marky, set up various bits and pieces in Bangor for him to do that. So I will pick his brain and just save myself a lot of investigation and get it done like that. Other than that, please do take one of those home, and please do at least once in the week. If you haven't got it on your prayer list already, make sure and pray for Shay's granny. That's Christy's wee brother's granny. Please pray for her. She's in hospital, chest related, COPD. Please, it's a bad time. It's never a good time to have COPD, but it's a very bad time to have COPD. You want to say something there?
I've got a name.
Lena Coyle, is it the granny's name you were? Goodness, I should have put my reading glasses on instead of my driving glasses. Please do pray for her if you would. And Pat and Steve also had a lady by the name of Gladys McElhattan. I actually think it's from down near where they are. She is suffering from cancer. So if you just remember Lena and Gladys, the Lord knows their needs. I think their needs really are that they both should be saved. But it would be nice if they got better as well. Don't forget to pray for each other. We certainly do need it. And I know there's only, 7 of us here, but if we even promised just one day in the week, it would take you less than 5 minutes to, whenever you're in prayer, just to read all those names out. The Lord knows who they are. If you would promise to do that this week, each one of us will be prayed for 7 times this week, and of course our prayer requests as well. I would beg you to do that. I'll even pray for you at least once a week as well. Honest. Amen. Please do remember that. I think that's about that. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Any thanks? Glad to be here. Yep, still there. We'll keep that there. All right. As you already, I think Will already mentioned, we miss Carol and Stephen, Ling and Frank, Pat and Steve, Esther as well. Please just give them a wee thought from time to time. And all the folks on our CD ministry too. Lastly, we haven't mentioned our missionaries much. Francis Cosgrave is still in Kenya. We've got our Kids for School outreach that we're helping support out in Tanzania. And don't forget the Christian Institute as well. I have a funny notion that the Christian Institute might have more business than they know what to do with in the very near future. So please do pray for them as well. Very, very important. It's like, I think it's very much like the way things have been for people in Northern Ireland for many years. We used to sit proudly and say, no gay marriage, no abortion. All of a sudden we got a gift of that from England and it's right in our doorstep. And then we would pray, oh, thankfully no disease and anything like that here. And now all of a sudden it's landed on our doorstep. So do pray about those things if you would too. Right, is there anything else we need to be thinking about or praying about? No. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come before you. Lord, just with the gathered up prayers of, well, all of us here, Lord, and some of us that aren't here. We do indeed, Lord, at the risk of sounding like a shopping list, but just to go through a few names. I pray you for Pat and Steve and Esther, for compromised immune systems, for ailments that are still keeping people down. And I pray especially, again, for Pat and Steve and Esther, for health and strength and for healing, Lord, please. We'd love to have them out with us as well. I know we miss Carol and Stephen, and we miss Ling and Frank. And I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon them and for Frank, Lord, as he does all these exams that he's got ahead of him over the next week, and for the results of them. For all of the children and the young people that we know, I pray you please, Lord, that you would take and use this time as a time to reach them, that you would restore a wee gospel tract or a John and Romans, and with people having so much time in their hands, Lord, that they would even take a moment to read a few pages or even just flick over John 3:16. Lord, you know what people need, what it'll take to change a heart. But I pray especially for Shay's granny, for Lena Coyle, for that woman Gladys McElhattan that Pat and Steve know, for both of these souls, Lord, for a great salvation for them. And Lord, if it would be your will, a restoration of health. Just thank you, Father, for watching over us. Pray that you would look after and bless Brother Stan this evening as he ministers to the folks up in Bangor. And Lord, for our mothers and fathers, for brothers and sisters, for sons and daughters and nieces and nephews, Lord, aunts and uncles, please, Lord, even now, this late stage, please convict of sin and judgment to come, and give people the good sense to get saved. Just thank you for loving us. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bless Christy as he comes bringing us your thoughts on Acts again this evening. We're looking forward to it. I pray that you would just keep his mind focused on the task at hand. I know there's so much going on in the world. But Lord, just let us set a wall of fire about us this evening, Lord, as we just take this time apart from the world in your presence. We love you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Amen. All right. Thank you very much indeed, brother. It's all yours again. Thank you. Take the next favorite, Norman. 12 and the black one. Let's stand as we sing number 12.
strive to carve a name of honor high up in heaven's book of life. My name is written there. I know, my name is there.
Seated. Songs reminds me of a time when you were younger and you wanted to write your name on every wall and everywhere, like Christy was here in 2K2 or whatever the year was. But it's good to know that your name's written in heaven. It's good to know that your name's written somewhere, but especially it's written in heaven. Any Mark or Norman's bench, Bradfield or Wilson's bench, pick the song. Black Book or the...
Should be in the book.
Okay.
Can we sign this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Mark to read it?
I can't if you want to.
But it's a good song. We probably have time to sing one more if the Bradfield bench has one, or Christine. I think you're the only two. Did you choose? Who else didn't choose? Just Mark and Monica. As long as we know what.
Your name on the first two services, number 23.
So they could not harm him.
take our Bibles and turn Acts 15 tonight. Closing out this chapter. We finished at verse 31 last week, so continuing at verse 32 and reading until 41, until the end of the chapter. And our topic tonight is the church continuing with contention. The church continuing yet with contention. Was it close? Starting at verse 32 in Acts 15. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Amen. Let us pray again. Mark, would you lead us, please?
Hey, loving Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for all the many freedoms that we have and the blessings that you've sent our way. And we thank you, Lord, that even in the most difficult of times that you're there. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us now, that you would bless Christy. And Lord, wherever in this country and indeed in the world where men are standing to preach the full counsel of your word, from the good old King James, I pray that you would bless and keep them. Please inspire, please use their words to speak to the hearts and minds of those that hear. And Lord, work on us there. I pray you, Lord, that you would find this evening as you walk up and down the aisle here, that you would find willing and tender hearts, teachable spirits, Lord. Thank you for love. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for a new eternity with you in heaven. We just ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A lot of the studies in 14 and 15 had focused around keeping on going or continuing or pressing on. So this will be another twist of the same theme. But last week we focused on the church with a plan. It was based upon where there was a contention or arisen a doctrinal error being portrayed in the church, that these Gentiles that had just been saved need to be circumcised, one, and kept under the law of Moses, two. The contention couldn't be resolved at the church there at Antioch, so they go back to Jerusalem to the apostles, and they hear the matter out. They hear those that brought forth this doctrine. They hear the disputes amongst Paul and Barnabas. They take exception to it, and rightly so, and they hear the matter out. Then Peter and Paul, they chime in with their experiences that they had with the Lord. So there's a letter drafted, and the church at Jerusalem send two men who they know have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus and proved themselves faithful, that is, Judas and Silas. They send them there, and here we are then in our text. Judas and Silas have been faithful so far. They have given their lives to the Lord. They have hazarded their lives, I think it says previously. And they're sent to reaffirm the message, to tell this church at Antioch all the goings on at Jerusalem. Just to introduce this week's message, most people are remembered for how they finish in life. If we think of King Saul, we don't think of all the things that he had done when he just started to be king, when he was little in his own sight. We think of how, when the kingdom was being taken from him or taken from him and passed on to David, how he chased down David, tried to kill him multiple times. That's what we think on. If you Google this name after the service, Vincent Foster, you'll find out that That is, in fact, how men are remembered, is how they end life rather than start it or live it out. Vincent Foster was an American attorney. He served as deputy counsel to the White House under the Clinton administration, but he committed suicide in 1993, and I know there's all sorts of conspiracies about that, and that's not what I'm getting at, but President Clinton at the time said it would be wrong to define the life of Vincent Foster's in terms of only how it ended. But every link on Google links to him committing suicide. It doesn't tell you of any of the body of his life's work. It just tells you how his life came to an end, or an abrupt end. And that's exactly how we're remembered, is how we finish. Not how we start, not how we stumble in the middle somewhere, but how we finish. And so the church will be remembered as well for how it finishes. And although everything was put on hold at this time, in dealing with this doctrine that had arisen from the men that had been teaching at the church at Antioch, to address the question of the legitimacy of the church at Antioch, those Gentiles that had been saved, at this point it had been settled, and Paul was ready to get back to doing what God had called him to do. And I hope to portray that this evening, that Paul was committed to the cause and committed to the call, and we'll see some of the things that they had done to handle contention. Someone wisely once said that there's nothing so detrimental to character than a half-finished task. And that's me and you. But so it is. It eats away at you when you've started something and you don't finish it. It's always in the back of your mind as you start a new task that you haven't finished the last one. There's people who have been waiting and maybe waiting on that task to be finished. And so it eats you up. Here we have the church then send Judas and Silas. They dealt with the very doctrine that was raised, this doctrine of keeping Gentiles under Jewish tradition. The letter had been drafted, but I think the church knew that there would be much questions arisen, so they sent two men to answer the questions. I think the church would want to know just a bit more than what was detailed in the letter. They wanted to know exactly what was debated, what was going on. I think that we need to be very careful over putting our personal preference over biblical conviction, because it has a detrimental effect. And why do I say that? I say that because it took many words and it took a space for them to comfort the brethren, to re-encourage them, to confirm them, it says. And that confirm is to give them that assurance that they are saved. There's nothing else that they need to do, but the grace, the doctrine of grace does ring true to the Gentiles as well. And that there wasn't an extra burden put upon these newly born believers. But they spoke many words to them. They spent many days. It doesn't tell us exactly in the amount of time, but we do know that it was the amount of time where these new Christians had been settled enough. From all the questions they had raised, from all the doubts, I'm sure they were wondering if there was anything else. I'm sure they were wondering, what if someone says X or Y or Z? What should we do? What should we say? But after it was settled, they released them to go back to the apostles. Silas, yet he notices a need and asks, or just decides to stay. Maybe he sees that there's still young Christians there that need further growth and just a bit of focused time. We don't know that right now, but we can see as the chapter goes on exactly why he was led or guided to remain there. Mm-hmm. Let us not esteem our personal preference just because we have a preference of how a situation should be handled. If it's not biblical, if there's no biblical instruction on it, and I'm one that believes that there are biblical instruction for everything, but there is times when we don't have solid biblical direction, but rather we put our own experience in front of what the Bible is telling us for a circumstance. So let us focus on biblical instruction and conviction rather than personal preference. But point number one, I want to look at the passion of Paul. And Paul had a passion to go again. What we've seen in the life of Paul to date is he had been attacked with stones, left for dead in one of the churches. He had been mocked and scoffed, and this wasn't to be the only suffering that would entreat his life. But the love of God constrained Paul. He had a very personal first-hand experience with the love of Christ on the road to Damascus. And he knew and wanted others to have that. He had suffered a great deal, but he wasn't willing to lay down the gauntlet or lay down the baton that he had been carrying. And was willing to accept any challenges or troubles or trials that preaching would bring to his life for the cause of Christ. We're turning to 2 Corinthians, just chapter 5, 14, verse 14 and 15. This is Paul to the church at Corinth. He says, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because that we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which lived should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That's Paul telling us that he was dead once, but because he has life, he no longer lives for himself. He's now living for Christ. And that's how we ought to that's how we ought to live as well, in the love of Christ and our desire for others to experience that, for us to radiate that in all situations in life and all walks of life. Others need it, we have it, but Christ wants us to share it as well. He doesn't want us to keep it ourselves. The other reason he had a great desire to continue on was the calling of God was upon his life. Remember at the remote road to Damascus, when Ananias was shaking in his boots for fear because he heard all about this Saul the oppressor, and this was the very man that God would have him go and reach and talk to and minister unto. The Lord told Ananias, "Worry, don't fear not, for I will show him much things that he must suffer for my name's sake." He's a chosen vessel. Paul, after that Damascus Road experience, he's serving in the church, he's learning, he's growing, he's teaching, he's faithfully ministering to the Lord. It says in Acts 13, verse 2, that says they're ministering to the Lord and they're fasting, a group of them at Antioch. And the Lord starts dealing in their hearts and in the church's hearts and says, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to do." He was sure of the work that he was called to do, and he was going to see it out until the end. We all know the words that he said to Timothy at the closing of his life. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to him only, but unto all them that love his appearing in his kingdom." He said, "I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course." Those faithful words. But it wasn't just a short-term burden, it was a continual burden. To do God's work, to serve him faithfully, because he had seen that Jesus was faithful to his followers. And he wanted to share that faithfulness, or share in that faithfulness. He said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:11, when talking about the gospel, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." 2 Timothy 1:11. And to try and get a bit of context to what Paul served outside the Bible, but give you a physical experience or a more recent experience or example. I got one in 1854. There was a London criminal, Charlie Peace. You've heard the story, I know it for sure. It's been said here, but maybe there wasn't a name to it. But he was due to be hung in the Anglican church, which had a ceremony for everything. They had a ceremony for this, for a hanging, whereby the priest read from a prayer book and said, "Those that die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release which death itself can bring." This stopped this criminal in his tracks, and he shouted in the face of the priest and said, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" To which the priest muttered and stumbled out of his words and said, "Well, I suppose that I do." And this criminal, Charlie Peace, said, "Well, I don't, but if I did, I would get down on my hands and knees and I would crawl across all of Great Britain, even if it was paved with broken glass, to rescue one person from what you just told me." And that is the attitude of Paul the Apostle, caught up in a few sentences. It didn't matter what the world, the flesh, or the devil would throw at him. he would see it out. He was cast into prison many times, stoned a number of times, beaten. But he experienced great miracles and the great faithfulness of God in all his tribulation and his trials. He said, "I bear the marks of Christ in my body," is what he said. The other passion Paul had was to visit the brethren in this chapter that we see. So they continue in verse 35 and they're preaching in Antioch. They're teaching the word of the Lord with many others also, it says. And after a number of days, Paul says to Barnabas, "Let us go and visit all those churches that we planted." Showing the true heart of Paul, a shepherd's heart, one that wasn't content just to plant churches and leave them be and let them grow on their own and just let them fare how they will. Again, turning to 2 Corinthians, just to read a verse, you can turn with me or stay there where you are and listen. Chapter 11, verse 28. And this is what he said. "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." It wasn't just a once a week burden or prayer that Paul had for all the churches that he had started. He said to the church at Philippi, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer for you," is what he said. But here in 2 Corinthians 11, he tells us it was a daily struggle that burdened his heart, thinking and caring about all the churches that he had planted and had a word of advice for. Not only did Paul care about the saving of souls, he cared about the Christian's growth. He knew that they would need guidance, especially churches that have just been planted, especially to people that the door of salvation had just been opened onto the Gentiles. So Paul had a great heart for visiting the brethren, and I think we haven't lost that completely. I think we have lost that great desire to do whatever it takes to see a soul saved. We get so comfortable that we think if anything's troubling us, we'll just go back to our couches and sit and lick our wounds and feel sorry on ourselves. But we all like company, we all like to visit each other, but there is an aspect of visiting the brethren that has somewhat faded, and that's checking on each other's spiritual health. And that's what Paul cared about the churches day in and day out for. In the early days, we've seen multiple attacks upon the church, upon Christians. We've seen corruption from within. We've seen attacks from without. And we've seen doctrinal error rise in its ugly head. And Paul knew that if that was happening to the church, it was happening to individuals. Let me just say that every one of us here looking at each other have silent battles that each of us know nothing about. So when God lays upon our hearts to say a word, an encouraging word, to do an encouraging deed to one another, that just might be the very answer to get one of us out of the battle that we're fighting. So take him at his word. When God's laying something upon our hearts, it's not just for the sake of doing something. We see the great contention arise then with this desire of Paul's to visit the churches. He wanted to go back to every city where they had preached the word and see how they do in verse 36. And Barnabas comes up with the idea and says, let us take John Mark with us. John Mark went on the first missionary journey, but he turned back from them. Luke doesn't give us an idea here who's in the wrong, but there is a great contention. 39 tells us that the contention was so sharp between them. The only time that a contention like this was found was when they were fighting doctrinal error in the book of Acts previous to now. Here we have a squabble amongst brethren. Paul thought that John Mark had no character. He didn't have the right character to continue on the missionary journey. John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. You'll find that in the book of Colossians, I think it's 4:10, where Paul said it's the son of Barnabas' sister. And he wanted to give him another chance. But typically when there is contention amongst two people, there's wrong on both sides. It doesn't matter. the two sides have done wrong and someone needs to just own up to their wrong first before the other one will. Typically that's what happens, but this doesn't lead to anyone owning up or giving in or giving out. They separate. They can't stand the look of each other anymore through this issue that has risen up to them. And it says it was so sharp, I'm sure they got hot-headed, I'm sure they exchanged words loudly. But there is a sort of a comfort here to us as well, in that the very founders, the founding fathers of our church, were human just like we are. They fell to the same desires that we fall to. They had the same cares and worries and fears that we do. But again, that's not an excuse. It's just an encouragement, because God used these men who had the same faults as we do. So therefore, by that same logic, God can use us.
Mm-hmm.
But they separate. Barnabas goes and takes Mark, and he sails to Cyprus. Paul chooses Silas, and here we see why Silas remained behind, maybe under the leadership of God, not known at the time why for, but here it comes to fruition. Paul chooses Silas and takes him with him and visits all the churches in Greece. And what they get to do is they travel back through all the churches that they had been to, preaching the gospel, checking up on them, strengthening them through the preaching, through the other works that have happened since they had yet visited, sharing the testimony. And there's a pattern of continuance, which is point number 3 and the final one that I'll make tonight. In the midst of contention, we often use that as an excuse to turn away from God. Why is that? That's because truly our loyalty wasn't to God or to Christ, it was to a man or a woman. And once something came between them and us, we use that as an excuse to get out. However, that's not what Paul and Barnabas done. Whilst there was something in between them, there was a separating of them, they both clung to the work that God had called them to do for the church. Whilst they went their separate ways, they still served the Lord. They still cared for the purpose and the burden that God had placed upon their hearts and on their lives. They still cared about the churches that they had been involved in planting. They didn't let the responsibilities lie just because of contention. And it's never a good thing when two souls are involved in ministry and contention comes in the midst of them. Never is in a church, it's never in a relationship, never in a family, it's never a good time for all involved. But it's not an excuse to lay things down and to stop serving. In fact, that's the time we need to be serving harder and more. But what I also want to mention is that Paul eventually did restore his relationship with John Mark. Remember, he said to Timothy when he was near the end of his life to bring John Mark, for he is profitable for me to the ministry. So he did look for restoration. He didn't just leave this point of contention. And it's not the first point of contention that he had with Barnabas. When he challenged Peter, Barnabas walked off from eating with the Gentiles as well as Peter did at that time. And we'll see that later on. But even in contention, we should seek to continue. How do we continue? Restore that fellowship, that relationship. Correct it. Admit where we're wrong. And forgive where the other was wrong. And that should be the easiest thing, yet it's not, because we have been forgiven much. So it should be the Christian thing to forgive. It should be our first response. But sadly, it's not. So often we're willing to give up on people and cast them overboard, whereas God wants to continue working on their lives to build them up to be a better Christian, to be a more mature Christian, and to be a profitable servant. But Christians and churches ought to be a place of grace and hope. Ought to be a place where we work through people's struggles with them and allow them space to grow and show them the pattern of good works that ought to be in a Christian's heart and in a Christian's life. The Greeks had an Olympic Games, and in that Games they put forth a unique race. Everyone was received a lit torch. And the winner wasn't just the first one to the finish line, but the winner was the one to the finish line who kept their torch lit. Don't you want to be at the finish line with your torch of faith still lit for Him? With that light so shining before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I like to be, maybe not even first, I don't even care about being first, but just arriving at the finish line with that torch still lit. If there ever is a point of contention, just continue on. Be a church that continues in the midst of, in spite of, in the place of contention. There always will be contention. We won't agree in everything. There will be things that we disagree upon, but Will read a verse there that said, "He that keepeth his tongue in his mouth shall save himself from troubles." You know what that said? It says to me is we get ourselves into trouble by opening up, by flapping those lips, opening up our cake holes. The Bible talks about a man even seeming wise when he keeps, a dumb man even seeming wise when he keeps his mouth shut. We don't have to share opinions on everything. Sometimes you just need to give a bit of heart rather than a piece of our minds. Let us love one another and keep continuing on even if there is any contention. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn?
Thirteen.
If you're not fast, you're last.
Let's stand as we sing, guys.
Could you close?
think the message, Lord, sort of on the hearts, Lord, draws closer to you both now and in the coming week that we're about to face, Lord. The people who make it tonight, Lord, pray for them also, Lord, provide for them and bless them as they come. Some of them are listening to service, Lord, and the Lord's Lord, bring them closer to thee. And Lord, remember all the services for churches for the UK, for other lands, Lord, and from yet to finish, Lord, be in touch of those that are lost in those services, Lord, that they may touch their souls, Lord, and convict them, Lord, and target their hearts, Lord, that they may want to seek Jesus and to see a saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he paid in Calvary, Lord, to save them from us, as Lord. Bless us as we depart from thee, Lord, from the church and safety, Lord, get us to our home safely, Lord, and Lord, thank you for every good thing, Lord, and provide for us, give us fly honor, fly glory for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen.